Yeah, I really appreciated that when I was meditating on that song. He smiles from heaven. He looks down on the house that's filled with love, and then Sunshine said, amen. Okay, so I'm just going to read out of this. It's a Christian Light. It's stories for children. So all the children, I want you to just kind of stay focused, like try to pay attention to the story, because afterwards I'm going to ask questions. But it's going to be like a voluntary situation, so if you don't raise your hand, don't worry, I'm not going to call on you. But it would be good if you all volunteered if you could, if you knew the answer. Okay, let's see. And they're really short. I think they're shorter to kind of just keep the attention span of children. But what I did is I to make it a little bit longer, I put like four of them together. So, this, okay. Elijah is fed by the ravens. Things were not going well in the kingdom of Israel. The people worshipped golden calves instead of the true God. Each new king worshipped idols and did wrong. Then Ahab became king of Israel in the last years that Asa ruled Judah. Now Ahab was not fit to be king. He was worse than all the other kings of Israel. Not only did he worship the golden calves, but also he married Jezebel, a wicked princess. She brought her heathen religion and heathen priests into Israel. Ahab built temples for her gods and worshipped with her. One day Ahab was much surprised to see a strange-looking man standing before him. The man wore a coat of camel's hair. He was the prophet Elijah, who had come to give the king God's message. Before the king had time to ask the man what he wanted, Elijah said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, there shall not be dew or rain throughout the land until I announce it." Then Elijah turned and walked away as suddenly as he had come. At first, Ahab paid no attention to Elijah's words. But when the dew did not appear and the rains stopped, he remembered what Elijah had said. Through the entire kingdom, he sent men to look for the prophet, but Elijah could not be found. Ahab became alarmed. He knew there would be a famine if there was no rain for the crops. Ahab sent word everywhere, even to other kings, asking each one to help find Elijah. Now God told Elijah to hide by the brook Cherith. Here Elijah had water to drink. Each morning and evening the ravens brought him bread and meat, just as God had said. Finally, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in all the land. Then Elijah wondered what to do. God told him, "Go to Zarephath. There I've commanded a widow to give you food." At once, Elijah started across Israel to Zarephath. Here's the ravens coming to feed Elijah. Who knows what it really looked like, but... Near the gate of Zarephath, Elijah saw a woman gathering sticks. He could tell by her clothing that she was a poor widow. He thought, "Perhaps this is the widow the Lord has sent me to." First, he asked her for a drink of water. When she turned to get the water, Elijah added, "Please bring me a little food too, for I am very hungry." At that, the widow stopped and looked at him strangely. She said, "I have no bread to give you. I have only a handful of meal and a little oil at home. I am picking up sticks to make a fire. Then I will bake the last bit of food for my son and myself before we die of hunger." "Do not be afraid," said Elijah. "Do just as you planned. But first, make a little cake for me." Can you imagine that? Here she's super hungry and she thinks she's going to die. And then Elijah comes along and he says, "Make my food first." I thought that was interesting. What a test. Do not be afraid, said Elijah. Do just as you planned, but first make a little cake for me. Then bake cakes for you and your son. The Lord God of Israel has said that your barrel of meal and your bottle of oil will not be empty throughout the famine. The widow hurried into the city and did as Elijah commanded. How surprised she was to find there was enough meal and oil for three cakes instead of just two. Every day thereafter, there was still a handful of meal and a little oil left for the cakes. Always there was just enough to feed the three of them for several months. Elijah stayed with the widow and her son. One day the boy became very sick, and he even died. The woman was heartbroken. Elijah said, "Give me your son." He picked up the breathless body and carried it to his room, laying the child on the bed. Elijah prayed to God, "Oh Lord, my God, let this child be restored to life." Three times he asked God to do this. And the Lord heard Elijah's prayer. Elijah picked the boy up in his arms and carried the child to his mother. "See," he said, "your son lives." How happy the widow was. She said, "Now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that your words are true." After Elijah's visit to King Ahab, there was no rain or dew in Israel and the nearby countries for over 3 years. There was no grass on the hillsides, and the fields looked like wastelands. The farmers could not raise crops, and the people suffered from hunger. Many animals died. Even the king's horses and mules were gaunt, hungry-looking beasts. By this time, Ahab was sure there would never be rain until Elijah announced it. Remember at first? He didn't really listen to Elijah, but now he's starting to listen. He's starting to pay attention. He wanted to find Elijah and bring him back to the palace. Perhaps he planned to force Elijah to announce rain. Ahab sent messengers everywhere to look for the missing prophet. Always they returned with the same report. "We can find no trace of him." Elijah seemed to have disappeared completely. Obadiah, Ahab's chief servant, was a man who feared God. One day the king told Obadiah, "We must find pasture somewhere for these horses and mules, or they will die. Let us divide the land. You go one way while I go the other, and we will look for water and grassy spots." So the two separated and went in opposite directions. Obadiah had not gone far when he met a man wearing a camel's hair coat. He knew at once that this was Elijah. In surprise and fear, he fell on his face before the prophet. Elijah said, "Go tell the king I am here." Obadiah asked, "Why have you come to me after the king has searched for you in every nation and kingdom? Now you want me to tell him you are here? Then when I tell the king, you will leave. The king will not find you, and I shall suffer. Already I am in disfavor because I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets when Jezebel tried to kill them. If the king comes here and you are gone, he will think I hid you just as I did the other prophets. Then he will kill me." Elijah quieted the excited servant. Again he said, "Go tell the king I am here. I will wait until he comes." Finally, Obadiah turned and ran to find the king. When Ahab heard that Elijah had been found, he did not bother to look any farther for pasture. Right away, he wanted to see the man who had brought so much trouble on him and on his people. At once, he hurried back with Obadiah to see Elijah. Because Elijah knew God had sent him to speak to the king, he was not afraid. At once, King Ahab asked, "Are you the man who has been causing all this trouble?" Elijah answered, "No, I am not the man who has troubled your country. You and your family are the guilty ones. You have forsaken the Lord God and disobeyed his commandments. You have worshipped the idol Baal. That is what has caused all this trouble. Now have the people of Israel and Jezebel's prophets of Baal meet me at Mount Carmel." This was one time the king did not give the orders. Instead, he did just as Elijah commanded. When the crowd of curious people gathered at Mount Carmel, they saw Elijah for the first time in 3 years. They listened quietly as he spoke to them. "How long are you going to serve first one God and then another?" he asked. "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is the true God, then choose him." Elijah did not ask the people to choose right then. Instead, he wanted to prove to them who was the true God. He said, "I and the prophets of Baal have met with you here. I am only one man, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bullocks for sacrifices. We will build two altars and lay a bullock on each altar. The heathen can call on their gods, and I will call on the Lord God. Let the one who answers by fire be your God." The people liked this plan. Quickly they brought the offerings for the sacrifices. "What will happen next?" they wondered. Elijah told the prophets of Baal to choose the bullock they wanted, and he took the one that was left. He said, "Since there are so many of you, you offer your sacrifices first and call on your God. Ask him to send fire." In a short time, the heathen prophets had their sacrifices ready. From morning until noon, they prayed, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no answer. They jumped up and down around the altar. Still, nothing happened. Elijah knew their God could not send fire from heaven. At noon, he made fun of them, saying, "Cry louder. Maybe he is talking or gone on a trip. Perhaps he is sleeping and cannot hear you." The prophets cried louder than ever. They cut themselves with knives, so Baal would feel sorry for them and answer their prayer. Still, Baal did not answer, and no fire fell from the sky. When it was time for the evening sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem, Elijah told all the people to gather around him. As they watched, he rebuilt the altar of the Lord that had once stood on this spot. He chose 12 rough stones and piled them together for the altar. Then he dug a ditch around it. On top of the altar, he placed the wood. Elijah wanted to make sure the people would realize God's great power. He commanded, "Bring 4 barrels of water and pour them on the sacrifice in the wood." When this was done, he said, "Do it a second time." A third time, he said, "Do it again." 12 barrels of water had been poured on the altar. The wood and the meat were drenched. The water filled the trench up to the brim. When everything was ready, Elijah said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God, that I am your servant, that I have done this to obey you. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know you are the Lord God and return to worship you." At once, fire fell from the sky and burned up the sacrifices and the wood. Even all the water in the ditch was licked up by the fire. How amazed the people were. They had never seen anything like this. Now they were sure Elijah's God was the true God. They fell on their faces and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Making sure they would not be tempted to worship Baal again, the people killed all the sinful heathen prophets. Okay, I think that's a good place to stop. This is what it looked like. Possibly. Can you imagine that? Just soaked with water. How could you? Have you ever tried to catch a soaked or a wet log on fire in the fireplace? Imagine this. Okay, here comes the questions. Who's excited for the questions? Okay. He's excited. I could tell. All right. We do this in our house, this book, and we kind of like it. I understand it might not be for everybody, though. Okay. Okay, why, does anybody know why God sent the prophet Elijah to speak to King Ahab? Anybody? Okay. Sorry, my eyes aren't good anymore, and so they go back and forth. I might take these off, but I need them to read. Okay, so why did God send the prophet Elijah to speak to King Ahab? To warn Ahab about the drought. Right? Okay, why did Elijah seek a hiding place by the brook Cherith? Anybody?
You want children?
I would prefer children, yeah, that way. Yes, Peter? Yeah, because God told him to hide there from the angry king. Yep. How did God care for the prophet Elijah when he lived by the brook? That's an easy one. Remember I showed you the picture? Exactly. The ravens came and brought him food. Very good. Okay, where did God send Elijah when the waters of the brook dried up? Remember that one? That was a miraculous thing that took place. Where did God send Elijah when the waters of the brook dried up? To the poor widow. Remember? To the poor widow. How did Elijah reward the widow for her kindness to him? Oh, this was a miracle of miracles. You got to remember this one. Yes.
Yeah, he brought her son back to life.
Exactly. That is so good. How long did the famine and the drought last in the land of Israel and the countries nearby? Yes, Peter.
3 years.
3 years. Perfect. Why did Elijah want to meet the prophets of Baal? Remember, he gathered them all together. Why did he want to do that? Do any of my children want to volunteer? I know I said I wouldn't say that. Malia? That's right. To prove to them who was the true God. Okay. How did Elijah prove to all the people that the Lord is God? Like, how did he do it?
By fire.
By fire from heaven. Yes, very good. Okay. Well, I think that was good. And that's all I have today. Lord bless you all.